open unto your book and your words. I pray, Father, open our eyes to behold the mysteries. Open our ears to hear you. And prepare our hearts ready, Lord, to bear this word. Now, Lord God, like that farmer that went about broadcasting the seed, Father, let this seed of your word fall on the fertile part of our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray as we are standing here and we are sitting down here, oh God, let there be that operation where the stony part of our heart will be broken, oh God, and be replaced with the flesh that will be able to receive, accept, oh God, Father, even run by this word. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those who have used, especially the pastor, you have opened up even the theme for this month. Thank you, Lord, for the dimension. Oh God, Lord, you are leading us even concerning the theme. Church relationship this year. Father, we pray, Lord, even as you are proposed to show us even this dimension, to take us through this dimension. Father, I pray, Lord, we not just be all learning without coming to your knowledge. Let the purpose for which, oh God, you are taking us this path be real in our lives, oh God. Come alive in us, oh God, that we not remain the same anymore. That the purpose you have called us, oh God, to yourself, out of the world. Father, to your presence, to become church, to become family of yours, will not be a waste. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless your name, Lord. For in Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. You know, if you are standing, by the way, I'm standing, I'll be able to have a good survey that many of our brethren are not here. And I know God Almighty, especially those that are not at work, peradventure they are at home. If there's any hindrance, if there's anything that is drawing such people away from his presence on a day like this, I pray for a total separation from such in the name of Jesus. Total deliverance, oh God. So total rescue in the name of Jesus. That Lord God, as you have said in your word, that in the latter days, that means at the end of the day, your children, your people will run to the mountain. There will be a rushing onto your mountain, Lord, to your presence in the name of Jesus. I want to thank God for the month again with the theme, church relationships. And as we have been able to realize that in this year the way God is taking us is a higher level. I remember maybe last year or 2 years ago when we were talking about such relationship, we focus on what you can call the horizontal, whereby we look at ourselves. And a lot of people, especially Sunday school teachings, they don't talk, we are talking of love, you know, we don't visit ourselves, we don't do this, we don't do that. And the type of relationship we are talking about is when we, well, to me, as a person, I believe that discussion on love or just in the church should be a sort of personal issue. That if Brother A does not visit me, have I visited Brother A? Hallelujah. If that brother, because that is what we look at. We look at the superficial. We look at the surface. And we are not looking at ourselves. That we cannot put cats before the horse. There will be accidents. But first and foremost, as we are looking at it this year, that we must look at the primary, the foundation, the fundamental, which actually starts with yours and my relationship with God. When the relationship with God is settled, as we have been me to realize and to, you know, to open our eyes to that area, then the issue of struggling with ourselves will be, in fact, will be minimized and will not be there before you know it. Praise the Lord. Because when we are talking of church relationship, from where we started, we see that church is not just something that exists on its own. And that's why the interpretation of it is that the body of Christ is the assembly of the what? Of the call-out ones. Those, by the grace of God, have been able to say, yes, here I am. I'm here for you. That we have been able to identify with the love of Christ who came to die for us. I'm saying, yes, you are the one. And then after, you know, that one, what follows? Are we relating with him in the right way? And you remember the theme that we, in the theme text, Hebrews 10 from verse 24, I would read from verse 24, reminds us of our primary, you know, focus. Verse 24 of Hebrews 10. Say, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. That even the cause of fellowshipping one another with one another, assembling together, our focus should be on what? Not on what you want to gain from sister A or sister B physically, but in consciousness of the fact that my relationship is based upon the love that God has for me. And when he comes, he said on his day, the day of his coming. So if you are still relating with one another, just like in the world, give me bread and I will give you sardine. Trade by butter, then you don't know anything. You have not started. If he says, if he doesn't laugh at me, I will not laugh at him. You have not started. May the Lord help us beyond that in the name of Jesus. On Tuesday, for those of us who are here and for those of you who are not here, we look at that topic in form of, because Pastor has been building up. When you look at the way, you know, the studies have started, you say last Sunday. So he started the Sunday, no, Tuesday with last Sunday. We were able to look at the church that God loves and died for. And the cause of that, he gave us five signs. Is it five? I could not call it five signs or five symptoms or five qualities or five things we identify to identify six identities that we'll be able to recognize the type, you know, the church that God loves us, you know, loves and died for. You remember those six for those of us who are here. Number one. It is what? Okay. Praise the Lord. That the church that God loves so much and died for is found in Ephesians 5. That is a bride, is seen as a bride of Christ. Say, man or husband, love your wife as Jesus Christ loved his church and did what? And gave his life. And number two, we say that it's a loving church. It's a church that is, you know, when we talk of, you know, loving, that is when you, it's the same Ephesians 5:1 and go to 25. It's so much loved that no matter what, and say that the wife, the husband should be able to sanctify the wife. So if the wife, you are married, you know, and you say, oh, the first day you sleep together, you say, you know, maybe snoring and all these things, you must find a way. It's not because of talkative. Oh, you can talk too much. When we are cutting, you are not talking like this. I would be told we can't do more, you know. Then find a way of, correct, sanctify. That's what Jesus Christ is doing for his church. That's why he did not go for the saints. He went for the sinners. And thereby, we have been sanctified. We have been refurbished. And number two, say that the church that that God loves or Jesus Christ loves and died for is the giving church. It's the church that gives everything itself both to the unbelievers and believers. And no wonder Philippians 4 said, you know, I haven't done all this. Paul said, I haven't done all this thing to me. Even in your poverty, you Philippians, God will do what? God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And number four, we see that the church that God loved and died for is the holy church that builds up one another. As we see in 5:26, Ephesians 5:26-27, building one another, encouraging one another. The one that is strong, take up the weak one. Say, he that is down, you don't trample on him anymore. You have to lift, let him be up. Oh, that brother, and he's still smoking. Oh, he's still drinking. Oh, he's still telling, no, it's not fit to be here. No. That's the type of people that needs the help. And the 51 is the church that is united. The church that is united. And the last one, number six, the church that Jesus Christ loved and died for is seen as the pillar of truth, not camp of deceit and 419. Hallelujah. And today, by the grace of God, I'm just taking one out of these six. And when we look at the book of Acts chapter 2, I'm taking number five, the United Church. The United Church. The church that Christ loved and died for is that church that is united. The church that is one. In the book of Acts chapter 2, if you read with me from verse 40, and I pray this afternoon we'll be able to see ourselves in the true picture of the Word of God. Because nobody here is a stranger anymore. As we're going to ask Galatians 4 said. Say, you should not count yourself as strangers or foreigners anymore. Even if you have not given your life to Christ, that we are here this morning. I see you as a child of God. I don't see you as a stranger. You are no more an alien. You are part and parcel now. All you need to do, if you have not actually given your life to Christ, the step is so easy now to take. It's no more whether I want to or may I not. In the book of Acts chapter 2, from verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. 43, for fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed, say that also. Now all those who believed were together and all things in common. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, man. And sold their possession and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continue daily with one accord. Let's read that together, verse 46. So continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. There's joy in doing it together. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word to our hearing. We see that the basis of God's relationship with his people is true love demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the basis. I remember we are told that, or we are reminded, that everything about church is what? Is relationship. According to Mama Shudipo, that everything about you and my here is based on relationship. But I believe that there's no relationship that is smooth, that is peaceful, that is, you know, easily without the word love. Even friends to friends. Love in this sense is talking about trust. Relationship is based upon trust, what we call love and confidence in. Any relationship without trust is no friend, you know, it's no friend, there's no friendship there. There's no love, there's no peace there. All we have there is just deception. Husband and wife, friends and friends, brothers and sisters. Relationship is based on trust and love. And Jesus Christ demonstrated this. The truth is that we cannot appreciate our position or role in the relationship with God except, or that, you know, the type of relationship God expects from his church until we grasp the depth, the length, and breadth of love as Christ has preached it. Let's look at what Paul was saying concerning this in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. I'm still coming to that part where we read about the unity, because this will lead us to where our sister just read for us. We must have the understanding of what exactly, you know, the expectation of God. When we cannot grab that, when we understand that what God expects from us as his children, as his body, it will be very difficult for us to relate with one another as expected. Ephesians 3:14-19. Let's see what Paul was saying concerning the church in Colossae. In Ephesus. Let's see his zeal, his passion for that church. 14. Said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, Union Foursquare Gospel Church, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in us, in your heart, in my heart, through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, that means to understand with all saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes on, you know, the knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. In mathematics, when you are talking of the length, the breadth, the height, what is that? What are you trying to find? Huh? Is it the area? You are trying to find the volume. Thank you, Daddy. The volume. The depth. Hallelujah. The depth is talking about the height. It's more than even just the area. Want to look at the volume, you know, and that is the prayer of Apostle Paul to the church. That is not just peripheral. He's not saying that you should know the length, breadth, and the love that brother has for you. But first and foremost, the love that God has for us, that we'll be able to comprehend. That is his passion. That's my prayer today, that I will be able, as I'm standing before you also, I'm not yet there, that I'll be able to understand beyond even just reading on the pages of the Bible, what exactly is the volume of the love of God. It's true, we quote every day. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. As I earlier explained, the church is invisible and visible. Yes? Every day, the very day we gave our life to Christ, We are registered in the, you know, in the visible book of book of heaven. Hallelujah. We become what? The member of the, you know, invisible church. What you call the church universe. And but that added to it that then after that we all become what? Church triumphant. And that is why I always say jokingly that whether you are in Redeemer or you are in Winnerso or you are in Deep Owl or you are in where again, you are in a mountain on fire or anything, you'll be redeemed to become what? To become winners. And the winners alone with the, you know, will be one that will end up in Foursquare City. And then there will be no more mountain of fire. But what you now have is mountain of praises and singing. Hallelujah. So what we are saying now, it goes beyond just denomination. It goes beyond just and this and that. Let me take you, you know, take you, you know, back a bit. You know, Pastor, I mean Bishop Idahosa, when he was alive, he said, look, denomination. And the nominator. Where is the nominator in mathematics? It's above. And the denomination is what's the function of the denominator? It divides. So the word denomination divides the United Church. And say, look, we should not be bothered about what? About denomination. But we bother about what? About that church above. Because he added to you that you can be a card-carrying member of a denomination, but you are not a member of the church in heaven, the United Church, that you are in trouble. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. That what we are saying indeed is that the visible church that we belong now, the local assembly, is just a place for us for training, for encouragement, for security. We must come together. And that's what, you know, the writer of Hebrew was saying in Hebrews 10, 25, I just read. This is where we come together to start encouraging, to start demonstrating that love of God. But how do we do that? We must know something. And very well, that we, you know, to become that, the membership of this particular, even the local assembly, the first step is to do what? Is to give our lives to Christ. And then we become the member. But the minute you do that, your name is up there. You join the invisible church. But here is where we are now. Spiritually, we see that the main criterion to become, you know, part of that membership is to give our, you know, you can be here for years. You can be in the local assembly for many years, going out and down. But without giving your life to Christ, you are like a block in a building that is not cemented. We can set blocks. If that block is not cemented, anything can happen to that block. Even in the night, thief can come and, you know, even in the daytime, they can carry that block away. And that's what the devil is doing. If you say you are sitting in the church, you are part of this, you are part of that, and you have not given your life to Christ Jesus and be part and parcel of his family, devil can still know. Devil, the thief is going about. You are just a block in part of the building. That is what we read. That's 1 Corinthians 12, which we are still coming back to. That we are what? Of different, you know, we call it a unity in diversity. But in actually, we are working. It says it's one spirit and one body. So church membership is, you know, is likened to that. That you and myself, we are blocks. Use in building the, you know, and that's what Paul, the analogy that Paul used, that we are just like building, built together, fitted together. Fitted together, I use the word cemented together. And, you know, if you are loose out of the whole thing, the thief of the, you know, is still around, can take you. So I'm begging you, don't fall out of the building, of the body of Christ. That is my first appeal this morning. Make sure you don't fall out. Because anyone that follows us is loose away, can be taken away, it can be taken back. Because the thief, devil, is still looking around to see those that will devour. See, it is very easy to be idle. Many things are around us in the gathering. And that's why it pains my heart when on Tuesday we don't see anybody. When on Sunday, even Sunday, people still have time to say, oh, today, Sunday, I'm taking my, you know, this time to go to laundromat. I've had many times that Christians, you know, we say this is time to go and wash their cloth in laundromat. What are you doing on Saturday? You say, I'm at work. This is not the day to go to laundromat. Some parents will say, this is the day I'm dropping my child in for the sports. Yes, they want that child to be millionaire. To be Kobe of his time. To be this of their time. But what of the spiritual life of that boy or that student? You can't do that even with the Jehovah's Witnesses. On Saturday, there's nothing you can do, you want to do. And most of the cases, you know, in fact, I'm in the school system. The SAT that's being done on Saturday, they are kicking it, they are writing every day that they want SAT to be done on Sunday now. Because Saturday, you know, their children must be in their church. But so for us, we don't see it as anything. In fact, that's the day, Sunday is the day we want to take our child to go and practice in gym, to go and practice in a football. Once you allow that, then you are doing what? You are losing yourself out, you know, from the body. And before you know it, the thief is outside. Belonging to a local church is for the personal security, as I've said, of individual believers in addition to other benefits. There are other things, you know, but what I'm saying actually this morning is that we are talking about the futures of a united church. The church in Jerusalem, just as we have read from Acts 2, is a good example of a united church. Where everything, those six things that Pastor listed in the Bible study outline, you know, were present. And that is why the Bible said, and the people outside were afraid of these people. Because signs and wonders were what? Were carried out. And this made, you know, the people outside the fold, they were terrified. It's our doings. It's our the manifestation of the power of God makes people to be terrified around us. Rather, we are just like cock, who has put his what do you call that thing on the head? The comb. Yes. We have put it for the fox. So the fox knows that it's a good delicacy. We have rendered the power that we're supposed to use to terrify the world. We have put it in the hands of the unbelievers. So they don't see even reason why, you know, what is important in what we are doing. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. They cannot differentiate between themselves and we, you know, we that we say we carry the Bible. Because we have given everything, we have rendered everything useless as the cock in that tail, in that, you know, that Yoruba tail, you know, and allow the fox to discover that the something like fire on his head is a good food. And we must be very careful. So, futures of a united church. Hallelujah. And this is where we want to put ourselves. Even when we are in the local assembly like this, and we are saying we are relating, the relationship, don't forget our relationship first and foremost must be with God. Identify with what? With the love of God in us. Romans 5:5. Is it on the board? Okay. Now hope does not disappoint. Oh, sorry. Back up to 4, please. Is that 4? Okay. And perseverance, character. What version is this? This one. KJV? Are you sure? Let me look at my own in New King James by 5:5:4. Okay. It's better I start from 3. And not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured, in King James Version, it says, has been what? Has been shared out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Brethren, if you look at that verse 5 very well, it's a sort of experience that every Christian must undergo, must have said, now, what happened? The hope does not disappoint, but, I mean, because the love of God has been poured, when we give our life to Christ, genuine repentance, sorrowful repentance that brings genuine repentance and genuine salvation. Said the love of God has been shed abroad, has been planted to be poured in our hearts. It's not just trickle. It's a volume. And that is why you cannot resist any other old person, I mean, the old nation in you anymore. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, whosoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Say, all things have passed away. That genuine, when we talk of genuine repentance, has brought about the love of Christ. Say, poured. Something that is poured is not just trickle. It's not by dot. It's not by drop. And what happened is that, he said, in our heart by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Have you experienced that? That's the question I first asked myself. I said, have I experienced that, you know, the shedding, the pouring of the love of Christ in me indeed? Where I am? Is it just that, just, you know, the whole thing? Because when it is poured, the liver is then marked as those who are born again. The assurance of being born again is seen in that Galatians 4:6-7. Galatians 4:6-7. That first and foremost, there must be that experience. When we experience that thing, that pouring of the love of Christ, shedding of the love of Christ in us, is nobody, is no pastor, is no teacher that now tells you that, oh, you are not the same again. Let's see what Galatians, you know, is talking about. And because you are sons, now you are sons, you are no more bastard, you are no more outsider, you are no more inferior. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your what? Into what? Into your heart. Crying out, Abba, Father. Seven. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then, and hear of God through Christ Jesus. In the church today, some people still behave like slaves, like strangers, like aliens, even to the body of Christ. This is how, brethren, we must examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves. How are you behaving? Are you behaving like a true child of the house? The people in the Acts chapter 2, how did they behave? Said they were in what? In one accord, going from one house to the other. And Paul was saying in that 1 Corinthians 12, he said, there's no, you know, the nose will not say, oh, no, I'm not, I don't belong to you. He said, the nose will say, oh, I'm not part of the body. How will he be able to even carry himself to smile anything? If the hand will say, no. In every area that God has called us, in every gender you are here this morning, in every tribe that you've been, from any tribe, he said, if you read further, he said, whereby there is no more what? There is no more Greek or Jews or Hellenists. We are all what? We are all one. And that is brought about by what? By your experience in Romans 5:5. That the love of Christ that breaks the barrier. That time, with that experience, you don't know. In fact, you don't hear it. That somebody has said something like this, or somebody has said, somebody is doing something like this. Say, in that church, I'm not aware. Even I'm not aware. Because the tabriara will still come to you. Did you hear this? Say, eh? Is it true? Because what you are concerned with is what? It's Christ. It's the love in your heart. Ah, they said something about you at this thing. Even you may express your mind. But that does not hinder you from moving forward. Our love, you know, the love of Christ in us breaks down the barrier. Say, this experience produces what? The desire to do what? To do with the will of God. That's our primary focus. When the love of Christ, when we experience the love of Christ that is poured into our hearts, really, our willingness, our desire all the time is to do that which pleases God. May the Lord bless, may the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. That we don't care about they visit me or they don't visit me. If you see anybody that is going about in the church, say there's no love in that church, examine himself or herself. He has no genuine, you know, the love of Christ has not poured into his heart or her heart. He still have time for mundane things. His business in the body of Christ is not of God. Even Jesus Christ was accused, as we saw today. Said the response of the people about the love that Christ showed even to the sinners. They went about and said, look at him. He's sitting with the sinners. Oh, he's sitting with the Sadducees. He's sitting with the tax collectors. And what was his response? He said, I've not come for those even that are whole. I've come for the sick. That should be our attitude towards ourselves because of what? Because we are connected with heaven, not with what is going on around us. Our conversion, the heart is what? Is necessarily and essentially evil. That's what the book of Jeremiah, said. All about this, is talking about flesh. But what makes the difference between you is the Spirit of God that you manifest is fruit. First and foremost, according to Galatians 5. Let somebody read for us Galatians 5, 22, 23, as I'm rounding up. Because the emphasis in this study, message, is the issue of the love of Christ shed abroad, poured into our hearts, to make us to look far away as the church in Jerusalem, the United Church, the early church. I call it United Church because it's not St. Anything. It's not St. Peter's. It's not St. Andrew. But it's United Church of Christ Jesus. And those people were united because the love of Christ was, poured into their heart. And they went about, the Bible says, and they did wonders. And signs were performed through them in such a way that, in fact, for church of today, for a local assembly, we must look beyond that man. We must look beyond that woman. First and foremost, let's look unto Christ that called us. Who was crucified? Was it Brother Adelani that was crucified or Brother Amajo that was crucified? It was Christ that was crucified. That because, for this that he had for us, but we first of all disturb ourselves with this and with that, we'll not be able to get it. Is anybody reading it for us? Galatians 5. 22-23. It's a message that, it's a passage that we know very well. And now the fruit of the Spirit is love, praise the Lord. Again, there is nothing that is against this. This is acceptable. But the first thing there is what? It's love. We have explained this very well many times, that the fruit, not fruits, of Spirit is what? It's love. And then, continue, joy, peace, I know. That means to say, the love is the principal thing. It's what we are talking about. Like the fruit to a tree. Godliness is what? Inevitable for those who receive the power of God. Love, joy, godliness, everything is, they are inevitable. Once the love of Christ is poured seriously into your heart, once you turn away from that, and then you say, Lord, be my Lord and my Savior. And genuinely, in fact, the difference is always there. And I pray I will get there, and you will get there in the name of Jesus. That the volume of love of Christ in you will be beyond immeasurable. That all those mundane things, all those things that hinder us from having a good fellowship with ourselves and with God first and with ourselves will be removed, and then we'll be able to focus onto the kingdom. We say our hope, remember, it started by the what hope? Hope in the kingdom. Our hope will not be let down, will not be shattered, if actually we have that love in us and our focus will be on where we are going. No matter how long we stay here, brethren, we are going to stay more over there. So like the fruit to a tree, godliness, love, kindness, all those things, they are what? They are, we receive power Somebody that hates is powerless. If you lack any of those things, you are powerless. That's why, you know, you can become, you know, pray to anything. He said Christian holiness consists in love for God and hatred towards anything called sin. Love for Christ, love for God will enable you to hate anything that is sin. And that is when you experience what Martin or Romans 5:5 is talking about. Have you experienced that as I'm rounding up? That is the question. Have I experienced that? Is the love that we are talking about that brought them to united them in the early church? The church that God loves in the early church. Ephesians 5:30, as I round off. Ephesians 5:30. So we see that in the characteristics. The main thing I'm talking about that united church, which actually Pastor dwelt upon on Tuesday. Said, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. That's the church that is united in body and spirit. So wherever you are, we don't need to deceive ourselves anymore. It's no more the pastor that we are looking at now. He said to himself on Sunday, he said, I'm under shepherd. The shepherd is here. The shepherd. And he said this morning again, he said, yes, we are all under shepherd. Congratulations. Congratulations. Then if you are under shepherd, then we are responsible to who? We are responsible to the shepherd. And surely, shepherd is going to ask us. It's just like in the school, you have the principal there. The principal has the assistant principals. Abi, if anything goes wrong, before even the superintendent comes, the principal is already dealing with the assistant principals. I pray, Lord God, Father, will find us faithful when we come. Because there will be no excuse. Don't allow even our interaction here hinder us from going forward. But the only way, as I said earlier on, that until we grab the understanding of the love that God has for us in sending his only begotten Son to us, to save us, it will be very, very difficult for us to relate and to serve, even in the local assembly. And remember, even if you are a member of a local assembly and you know you are not a member of the church universe, then it will be a waste. Yours will not be a waste in the name of Jesus. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Examine yourself this morning. Is actually the love of Christ overwhelm you beyond those little things that you allow to hinder you from rendering, from serving, from giving everything, from giving all to Christ in this hour, in this time of ours? The time is running out. The young is dying, the old is dying. The time, Christ may come anytime. And when we say Christ coming, death may come anytime, because the day you breathe the last is the day your own Lord comes. Let's examine ourselves. Are we really, are we carrying that volume, the outpouring love of Christ all about in our homes, in our place of work, in the church? Are we looking at it as God is looking at us? Are we looking through the eyes of God, or you are looking through your own eyes? And that's why, even when pastor is saying something, or when the Bible is saying something, say, oh, we cannot be holy. We cannot obey everything in the Bible. Who tells you? Not everything, after all, I can come to church anytime, but you won't go to your work late. God understand. If I'm not there, others are there. I pray you will not be substituted by stone. Shall we pray for ourselves this morning? Let's ask for more outpouring of his love so that we'll be able to relate with him the more. The understanding of the love that he has for us in sending his son to the world. So that for me and for you, we have a hope that is kept alive all the time. The hope that is alive all the time. That our hope is kept alive by what? By the type of, the way the love of God is expanding in us. There will be no excuse. Pray for yourself, Pastor. Sir.
Can we rise? I want you to sing with me that song.